Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Let us listen for the word of God. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Though through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. This is God's word for us today.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from 1 Kings chapter 17. Listen for God's word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So Elijah set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." And she, as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Come here, I said to a few participants at the conference I was attending last week. You have got to see this, I told them. I was watching for the worship service last Sunday, live streamed over Facebook, as Catherine Fraze told of the Feeding Westchester Award, and Jessica Mays gave her powerful testimony on giving. And then came those cardboard testimonies. I watched as they flipped them over and said, "Wow." I could feel the emotions welling up in me, as well as a sense of pride, as I watched them carry those signs up here and then flip them over. And all in front of all of these banners and posters of the breadth of our ministry together. Who could have imagined the impact of our church and what it would mean in people's lives? Who could have envisioned that we could and would do all of this together with God's help? How is it that your church can do all of that? One of the conference participants asked. Well, it wasn't because we knew these things would happen, I said. You can't imagine ahead of time the impact a mission trip will have on people. It's not like you know when hard times are going to show up in life, only that they will. And we don't know the stories that people bring with them when they come to church. But I think we can be ready for whatever God sends us. I think we can hope, I said, that we're setting ourselves up to be faithful to God, even if we don't always know what our ministry will look like, even if we have to live into ministry and take a journey with God. You see, I think faith is what leads us to build a budget or a building or study God's word or engage in local, national, and international mission work. It's faith that leads us to sing and to pray and to help. All those things, all of these things help us see where God is at work, but they are not ends in themselves. They build in us the capacity to follow where God leads and to do what God gives us to do along the way that is often far beyond what we can imagine, I said. Cool, the person replied. I agree, I said. What's also cool is the way our first reading in the book of Hebrews talks about living by faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. When the author of the book of Hebrews looked back on his ancestors, those two sentences summed up what he saw in their lives. Abel offered a sacrifice, hoping that it was faithful. Enoch ordered his life by the rule that he would try to please God in everything he did. Noah built a boat he had never seen before for a storm he couldn't imagine. Not to mention that his family didn't even know what their husband or father was thinking or building, but helped him out anyway. None of them knew ahead of time how their actions and their lives would please God. They only hoped they would, according to Hebrews. They believed that by faith, God would approve of their lives. And it wasn't that they were trying to earn God's love or God's approval. The word approval there isn't the best word in English for the Greek. The Greek word has more to do with the idea of witness and testimony. These people wanted to give testimony with their lives to what they heard God telling them or what they knew of God. They wanted to be faithful. They wanted to live by faith. And in hindsight, the author of Hebrews says they did. They were approved by God, not because they knew ahead of time how their work and their lives would turn out, but because they lived by faith and created the opportunity for God to use them. And what strikes me about all these people is the cumulative effect of their faith on the generations that followed them. Living by faith, Abel became a witness to Enoch. Enoch was a witness to faith for Noah, and Noah for Abraham. And Abraham, well, Abraham, I mean, all of their faith led him to take a journey. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham's story began in the land of Ur, present-day Iraq, with Abraham minding his own business. That's usually when God calls, and God did. Abraham, God said, go to a land that I will show you. Now, can you imagine him going home after that conversation? He comes home and says to Sarah, hey, guess what? We're moving. And Sarah says, now, do you mind telling me where it is we're going? Well, Abe, we'll call him Abe, scratches his wrinkled, bald head and says, I don't rightly know. You see, it wasn't his planning for retirement that Hebrews noticed about him. It wasn't his successful career in Ur. What the author of Hebrews wants us to see is that Abraham took a journey and lived by faith. He was a witness, an example of trusting God's promises and putting himself in a place of opportunity for God to work through him. And I'm not even sure in the end that he's the best example in his own story. For that, we'd need to look at Sarah. She didn't hear from God. She heard from her husband. She believed without hearing God directly. And I've heard people say that she didn't have much choice in the matter back then. And that may be true. But I wonder if she lived by a faith far deeper that trusted that she would be okay anyway. Perhaps she lived by a faith like the widow in our second reading today. The story starts out being about the prophet Elijah. God told him to move to Zarephath, and a widow there would feed him. Following God's instructions is in itself an act of faith. I mean, which widow, God? How would Elijah meet her? How would she know that he's the one sent by God? There are lots of reasons for Elijah not to trust what he heard God say. But there's one reason to trust God: God's provisions in the past. God never stopped being with Elijah. So Elijah went to Zarephath. When he got there, he saw a woman gathering sticks. He asked her for some water, and she immediately got up to get him some. It just seemed a little too easy. She didn't hesitate to help. Water must have been somewhat easy to come by at that moment. But then Elijah raised the stakes, and he asked for something that would be harder for widows. Bring me a morsel of food in your hand. He wanted her food. He wanted something personally significant from her. Widows didn't have a lot back then. Their social safety net were their husbands, and hers was dead. That's why she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." She was at the end of her rope, and he was asking for some of her last supper. He was asking for something very personal from her to give out of her need. "Don't be afraid," Elijah counseled her. "Go and do as you have said. Make something for me and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son, because this is what God says: the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." Oh yeah, did I mention that the widow was asked to do this from a dire place in a severe drought? And yet her response can only be described as one of faith. In the midst of being so down in the dumps, so depressed, so close to death, she goes and does what Elijah said to do. And sure enough, she and her son ate for days. The jar was not emptied, and the jug of oil did not fail, just as God said. Little did she know the impact of her living by faith would one day have on others. Jesus was teaching a crowd one day about what real faith looks like, and he said this: "There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow in Zarephath in Sidon." God gives help to those who make a faithful and active response to what is going on in their lives, Jesus told the people that day. By faith, the author of Hebrews would say, she gave out of her need, she gave personally, and saw how God was with her. As I listen to all these ancestors of our faith, I'm left to wonder, what do we hear in them that helps us live by faith today? Back in 2005, when I was visiting Kenya, my sister arranged for us to tour the Maasai Mara, the Kenyan side of the Serengeti. We saw hippos and elephants, water buffalo, cheetahs, lions, gazelles, hyenas. I got to see firsthand what baboons can do to your living quarters when you don't close the door properly to your place. They tried to eat my camera. But I also saw impala. They look like deer, and they are amazing leapers. They can jump to a height of over 10 feet, and one leap can cover a distance of over 30 feet. Yet these magnificent animals can be kept in enclosures in any zoo with a 3-foot-high wall. You see, impala will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. I guess you could say that impala like to look before they leap. Take a moment. All right. But that's not the case for all the people in our scripture lessons today. They didn't look before they leaped. They leaped first. Or maybe it's not whether or not they looked, but where they looked. Instead of looking at their own feet and the ground beneath them, they looked to God, the one who had brought them this far, and promised to be with them wherever the future took them. And so all these faithful folk moved forward in response to God's call. They offered their best gift. They lived God's purpose for their lives. They built a boat. They set out for a new land. They gave away a portion of their food. And they did all of this not knowing exactly how it would turn out. What they did know is that God would be with them. And so they lived by faith, and they would be, so that they could be witnesses to God's presence and care, God's provision and direction. And the good news is, they were. So when I look around this room at all these posters, or I watch a video last week of the testimonies, I have to wonder, what would we have missed out on in our life with God? What would this church and our ministry have missed out on if we had had to have it all figured out first? If we had to know the path to take beforehand? If we knew all the twists and turns ahead of time, if we had to see where our feet would land before we leaped, I don't think we'd be where we are today. That's why life with God is not about the destination as much as it is a journey of living by faith and giving testimony to God's faithfulness along the way. Tammy and I have been asked a number of times what we see as the vision for this annual and capital campaigns this year. Is it a full sanctuary on Sunday mornings or 500 people on the membership rolls? Is it growing what we already have or doing something new and different? Is it more money in our savings account or endowment? Is it a greener footprint, more mission opportunities? Well, the answer to all these questions is yes, but not because we know those things will happen or because we know exactly how we'll get there. It's because who we are and what we do is a gift created by God. It's a gift that I want us to continue to develop, to keep growing into, to keep sharing with one another, to keep offering to others. How can we keep being as generous in our lives and our life together as God has been toward us? This week in your mail, you should have received the beautiful, detailed brochure about this year's fall and capital campaigns, as well as the frequently asked question sheet and an invitation to our celebration brunch next Sunday. If you didn't receive one, please let us know and we'll get you one. And we should say a word of thanks to Lisa Flanagan, our office manager, and to our communications team for their hard work. It's a beautiful brochure. On the back of it is an orange box that invites you to continue to pray about and discern how God is calling you to participate in the life and the ministry of this church with your time, your talents, and your treasure. And the first question in the box is about today. does the amount I'm giving each year and to the capital campaign, does my gift require me to trust God? Because in the end, the vision for our church really isn't a new or different building, or new faces in the pews, or new programs, all of which would be great. It's the opportunity to know God with us in ever new ways, and to invite others to know God through all of this and all that we can't even yet imagine. Living by faith helps us choose God's values of love and grace, compassion and hope, peace and justice, instead of fear. Living by faith gives us courage to offer friendship and help when it is just so easy to give up or give in. Living by faith doesn't take away anxiety about the future. It doesn't promise that bad things won't happen to us. It means that we stand together through them and with others who are searching for a better way. It means that we're always seeking to be faithful with this place and with all of these people that God gives to us. And maybe, just maybe, when another book of Hebrews is written, the author will look at us and say, by faith, the people of First Presbyterian Church of Yorktown were a testimony to God's good news of new life in Jesus Christ, and they weren't afraid to live it for this world that God loves.